This imposing piece of music is called Heart of Oak, and for 40 years it introduced the news on 3DB. And news has always been one of the mainstays of the station. One of the largest news-gathering organizations in the world, the Herald and Weekly Times, has always physically towered over the studio areas of the station. The grand old lady of the print media, so much in the news of recent times, has at various times in the past proven to be a wonderful ally in our news endeavors. At other times, she's seen us simply as a poor cousin or just radio, who cares? Whether our master or mistress has been on side or not, 3DB has always enjoyed a great reputation for news and the gathering of same. In the modern era, men like John Worthy, Peter Band and Arthur Higgins hold enviable reputations. In the years gone by, some of the finest radio newsreaders ever to turn the page of a news bulletin were here at 3DB. Testimony to that is that Melbourne's three major television newsreaders all started at 3DB: Brian Naylor, Mel Walden and David Johnston. The doyen of them all, Sir Eric Pearce, allowed his dulcet tones to harmonise with Heart of Oak back in the 40s and 50s, establishing on radio that extraordinary news style of credibility and charm that translated across the television with so much success. For over 30 years, the most identifiable news voice on our station was Jeff McComas. He played many roles at the station, but he'll always be remembered especially for his magnificent news presence. He was an inspiration to a number of our present DBers. Example, Lawrence Costin.
I was very impressed with Jeff McComas, and I did a lot of Sunday afternoons when I was a junior announcer, and Jeff would be in doing several special programs on Sunday afternoon: Business Equipment, Universal Flexible Trust, and I was just the link man, you know, time calls and so forth, and I'd be sitting back and I'd be watching Jeff McComas do these commercials, and he'd have the paper in front of him and you could see him enunciating and crossing his T's and dotting his I's, but he was really selling. I was most impressed with the way Jeff McComas could read a commercial with the emphasis on certain words, the pausation and the colour. He was very good.
Indeed, Lawrence, he was very good. And that's how the sponsors felt too. Here's an example of the McComas touch.
Make your coffee the way you like it best: essence, ground or powder. Make it black and steaming hot. Add carnation milk, and you've got the best cup of coffee you've ever tasted. Double rich carnation makes any coffee taste better. Gives a rich, creamy smoothness. Brings out the real coffee flavor. Ask for carnation milk from contented cows.
With that lovely soft touch and that voice, he could sell anything, especially news. Back in Jeff's day, radio didn't present hourly news 24 hours a day that we're used to now. The news was brought to you in quarter-hour blocks, four times, sometimes five times a day, and Jeff at times did them all, especially those with the largest audience.
Well, the three most important bulletins of news were at 7:45 a.m., 12:30 p.m., and 7 p.m. Remember, this is prior to television. So they were the news services. They were quarter-hour bulletins, and to read the 7 o'clock news at night, you got your photo in the paper.
And here's how Jeff got his picture in the paper.
Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt this broadcast with a news flash from the Herald. I've just been informed that His Majesty King George VI died peacefully in his sleep at Sandringham a few hours ago. The King was 56 years of age. That's all the information we have at the moment, but repeating that news flash from the Herald: His Majesty King George VI died peacefully in his sleep at Sandringham a few hours ago. God save the Queen.
Thank you. In those decades that Jeff was the news voice of 3DB, was he like the comedian who wanted to play Hamlet? Did he feel restricted by the written script? With variety performers like John Stewart, Dick Cranburn and Bill Collins around him, did he long to loosen his tie, dare I say, let his hair down, and join in with his variety colleagues?
No, I never considered myself a variety performer. I can't sing and I can't dance and I can't do any of those things. I don't really see myself as a variety person. And in comparing things, I've got to... I did find that I did my best work when I was really well prepared.
One more time, please, Jeff.
Did my best work when I was really well prepared.
Really? You were saying, Jeff?
I didn't very much like doing things in the spontaneous ad-lib sort of style, which Bert Newton's famous at, you know. But, no, I felt I did my best work when I was thoroughly prepared and knew exactly what I wanted to say.
I wonder if Jeff was prepared the morning this happened.
This message from Paris will doubtless be intelligible to women only. It says, Christian Dior has swapped his H-line for an A-line. The main difference is a flare introduced in skirts with a movable waistline and broken effects representing the crossbar of the letter A, which may be set high or low. The silhouette is always broken horizontally by a variety of ways. Shoulders continue narrow and generally unpadded with set-in sleeves, though more squared effects are sometimes achieved by the absence of the high, sloping collars shown for winter. The sleeveless armhole is a leading trend for streetwear, as well as for formal clothes. Dior, whose collection was shown yesterday, has done a few very drastic things to the neckline of afternoon and cocktail clothes. Apparently to counteract the impression given last year that he doesn't like bosoms. The V's, whether narrow or wide from the shoulder blades, have a tight construction through the rib cage, pushing... One deep plunging V is cut to the bottom of the rib cage. The high collarless necklines receive a new banded trim of self fabric, which is cut separately and tacked at the front or evolved from modified draping. The loose, arched loop, Dior calls them ribbon collars, fall free at the back. There's much more of this sort of thing, but that's all we have time for.
It is hard to keep a straight face. Okay, another day, another news service, and another gentleman endeavouring to keep that straight face. A fine DB voice from the past, Roland Redshaw.
Lunchtime crowds parted and traffic snarled as a nude man ran past the taxation department in the heart of Sydney today. Eyewitnesses said the man appeared from completely nowhere, naked and obviously distressed. As women screamed, he ran along the pavement and into Martin Place. He slipped on the wet roadway and dragged... I beg your pardon.
It's always very handy to have a news theme to go to, except that sometimes it takes you a long time to find it. Anyway, back to Jeff McComas. He's been the inspiration for so many radio people, but who was his inspiration? None other than the aforementioned Sir Eric Pearce, producer Alf Potter.
Jeff even went to the extent of buying a pipe and copying Eric. He really adored Eric Pearce and admired his presentation so much because Eric was the peak of sophistication as far as radio was concerned.
And what does Jeff himself have to say about his mentor?
In those days, and I'm talking of the 1940s, the late 40s, early 50s, he was the identity of the station. He read the news at the most important times of day. Most people thought, in the community at large I'm talking of, most people thought he was the, if not the manager, then certainly the owner of the station. They had heard of Dave Worrell somewhere in the background, but Pearce was the person who was the the station of 3DB. And I think he put an enormous stamp on the station in those particular years, which lasted, I suppose, for about 20 years or so.
And how does my dear friend Sir Eric Pierce reflect on his 3DB years?
I think that it was the most stimulating time that I had in my early life. I was with a bunch of people associated with 3DB and the Herald who were wise, supportive, and to whom I was able to give my loyalty. I learned an awful lot. I met a lot of very, very interesting people during my time there, and I don't think I shall ever forget it. I'm still very fond of it.
But what's the secret to Sir Eric's technique in radio? And, for that matter, in television too?
I've always imagined this microphone, into which I'm now speaking, and the camera and the microphone combined in television, represented Betty and a group of close friends. When I was reading news, the kind of expression I would get would come not consciously, perhaps, but through that philosophy which I developed over the years. And I've never been inhibited. I've never, ever been inhibited about standing in front of a microphone. And that may have something to do with my ego. I don't know. We've all got it. But I try to keep it under control, as I'm sure you do. And most other people I know who've been successful keep it under control. But you've got to have it to get anywhere.
And certainly Sir Eric Pierce did get more than somewhere or anywhere. Regardless of what his original plans were for his professional journey, what evolved was one of the most successful and inspiring careers in both radio and television. Sir Eric was one of the relatively few radio men who made the transition to television with great success. But more importantly, his reputation as a man should be envied by one and all who work in this industry. His segments are pre-recorded, so he isn't in the studio with me at the moment. But let me report that this delightful gentleman, in his early 80s, is recovering well after a successful operation. He's still in residence at Channel 9, and he's still the best. For once in my life, I gave the final word to Eric.
Well, to all of you, anyhow, it's been a great privilege and a great pleasure to be associated with this historic occasion. And may I end up with something many of you perhaps will recognize, my usual salutation. I don't know that I'll say goodbye, but it won't be goodbye, I hope. But in any event, I'll say au revoir, and God bless you and you.